We have a wonderfully meaningful Mass these days. Between the morning offering of ashes down at Cafe Zuri and the evening service, we had nearly 100 people share this ritual of ashes. It was a beautiful thing. It was a moment to reflect on our impermanence and our imperfection, two very defining parts of what I think means to be human.
If you were not able to join us on Ash Wednesday, I hope you will take a moment today to reflect on where you can acknowledge a need for something more than yourself in life. By reflecting on that imperfection and that impermanence, that you might see a place in your life where you can welcome God's grace to be present in your life. See, this is the journey that we're beginning in this Lenten season. A journey that will lead us to and through the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. A story that ultimately will lead us to life. Life that's filled with meaning, life that is eternal, life that is immediate and present, life that is new. This is actually one of the questions we ask both when we do a baptism, parents answer it on behalf of the child being baptized, or when people join the church, it's one of the questions I ask that's in that little white envelope I hand people. The question is this: do you confess your faith in Jesus Christ, who offers new life to us? I have a real deep appreciation for this question, and I believe it to be at the very core of our Christian journey together. I do like that it does not overly define who Christ is or must be for anyone. It creates some space there. It isn't about mandating some sort of dogma or belief. Do you believe these exact things about Jesus? The question asks us to have faith and to seek life. That's the invitation of the waters of baptism, of membership in a congregation. To be honest, I believe it to be the invitation of the Christian life, to have faith and seek life. And as we will see on this journey toward Easter, those are the exact things that Jesus was all about, inviting people to have faith and seek life. Each week on this Lenten journey, as we head toward Easter, we will meet another person who came to know life and who grew in faith because they met Jesus. We will find many different versions of what faith means. We'll find many different ways that faith can look like in a life. We'll experience many different stories of what life can mean for people. And that's part of the blessing. In meeting many different people in our scriptures, we will hear many different life stories, and they will be as varied and unique as we are. But also as we are, their stories will be tied together through relationship and through the life that they find. In the weeks to come, we are going to hear stories from failures and outcasts and sinners, even the dead. We will watch life be transformed for overworkers, addicts, control freaks, and self-centered egomaniacs. We will witness wholeness be brought forth out of the lives of the depressed, the lonely, the misunderstood, and the underestimated. We will share in stories of life on this journey together. One such story comes to us in the Gospel of John. And Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he returned to the temple. And all the people gathered around him, and he sat down and taught them. The legal experts and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, placing her in the center of the group. And they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone women like this. What do you say?" They said this to test him, because they wanted a reason to bring an accusation against him. Jesus bent down and wrote on the ground with his finger. They continued to question him, so he stood up and he replied, "Whoever has not sinned should throw the first stone." Bending down again, he wrote more on the ground. Those who heard what he said went away, one by one, beginning with the eldest. Finally, only Jesus and the woman were left in the middle of this crowd. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Is there no one to condemn you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, don't sin anymore." At first glance, we might think this is too easy of an example of a story of life. I mean, of course it's a story of life, because Jesus literally saved her life, right? She was about to be put to death. She doesn't get killed. Thus, it's a story of life. While true, that really only scratches the surface of the meaning offered here. Life is found not only for this woman, but for those who bring her, those in the crowd, and also for us. Now let's start with the rule followers who start this whole story off. The reason the entire situation unfolds is because a group of legalistic rule followers want to trip Jesus up on a technicality. Because they figure if they can get him to publicly break a rule or speak against the law, they can get rid of him, or at least discount him as a faithless, religionless heretic. So they bring in this woman caught in the act of adultery. Please note, they only bring in the woman. Not the man, just the woman. There's some inequity in this story. So the rules, they point out, say this woman is to be put to death by stoning. And I can only imagine they were starting to pass rocks out to the entire crowd. You all have to be a part of this. But in following this practice, by following the rules, she wasn't going to be the only person losing life that day. Just like in our world and lives today, there can be those who get so caught up in the rules that they end up missing life themselves. That by being over-focused on the letter of something, the spirit of life it carries with it is lost. My previous boss ingrained in me the idea that you never put rules in front of relationship. It's become a cornerstone of ministry for me. You do not sacrifice relationship for the sake of rules. Because relationship is where life is found. Now, this wisdom was not hers alone. It's something found in the journey and ministry of Jesus. And this is one of the countless scriptural examples where Jesus proves it. You see, in trying to follow the letter of the law and trying to trap Jesus in the rules, what has been overlooked by this group of leaders is the spirit of a law that values and respects life, commitment, and relationship. Yes, adultery is a violation of trust, of covenant, and of relationship. It is not to be taken lightly or overlooked. But throwing rocks doesn't fix any of that brokenness. In fact, throwing rocks might be the easy way out for everyone involved. Holding only the rules actually creates a situation where everyone involved, from the woman to the crowd witnessing, can completely disengage from rebuilding trust, from discussing what covenant really means, from healing relationship. It lets them just walk away from it. In the invitation to relationship in this moment, Jesus is actually asking people to do something much, much harder. Because having to stop and consider your own life, to reflect on your own moments of failure, that actually accomplishes a lot more for all involved than just throwing the stones. And it also values life, certainly the life of the woman. But it also makes each and every person there take stock and value their own life, their own relationships, and their own commitments. One of the words in that phrase that leads us to this next point Jesus was trying to make is the word own, valuing our own lives. Their own, our own, to each their own. Jesus invites the crowd in this story, just as Jesus invites us, to consider that meaning in life must be found in our own lives, not in comparisons, not in judgments, not in relative assessments. There must be something in the human condition that leads us to continually look everywhere else to try to validate ourselves. That keeps us from looking at who we are and saying, who I am is good enough, regardless. Because when we start looking everywhere else, we won't find life. What you have in a crowd of people ready to throw stones, right? This crowd is there ready to do this. What you have in that crowd is the same thing you can find around a table of people gossiping on a complaint-filled postings website of a social network in a neighborhood behind faces with, you know, the pursed lips, the slanted eyebrows, and the rolling eyes, often accompanied with a sigh. What you have in all of these situations are people trying to feel more complete and secure in themselves by pointing out the incompleteness and the frailty of others. Proving that someone else is more broken than you are does not make you whole. That's not where we find life for ourselves or for anyone else. And so Jesus asked the crowd to look at themselves and their own lives instead of judging this woman's. Are you seeing a repeating theme here? If you want to experience life, if you want more out of life, if you want something new in life, you have to look and start with your own. To begin living a story of life, we must be honest about our own stories, because that's where life is found. But it can be so hard to do, can't it? Because our own stories can be filled with these moments, these failures, these choices that leave us feeling far from alive. And so we must do what Jesus invites the woman in the story to do. We must put our past behind us. From the moment of this indiscretion, all this woman has been able to see is her failure. It's all the rule followers and insecure crowd would allow. But I tell you, even without them, I venture there was a pain and a guilt that weighed in her heart. I've had this conversation with parishioners too many times, not to know the lifelessness that follows a decision you wish you could unmake, whatever it is. Even without other people's judgment, we can be burdened by the weight of our own choices in such a way that makes us feel like life is unattainable. And as tough as moving past a mistake can be, as difficult as turning our lives around can seem, how does Jesus respond to this woman in the midst of all of it? Jesus so simply and elegantly says, don't sin anymore. Just don't sin anymore. What we find in Jesus' response is the heart of relationship. No rules, no judgment, no comparison, just the encouragement to live life one step at a time, trying to do better. And in that request, in that encouragement, Jesus reminds this woman that he believes she's capable. See, here it isn't confessing faith in Jesus that brings life. It's that Jesus is confessing faith in her that brings her life. He looks at her and he says, don't sin anymore, without any reservation, because he knows that she is capable. Can you imagine? Going from a crowd that's ready to kill you for something you can't undo to someone having full and complete faith in all of the things you will do in life. That's where life is found, in relationships that honor and believe we are capable. And we should see that in ourselves. Jesus brings life into the stories of the crowd and the woman as he invites them to see themselves. He seeks for them to be free. Jesus seeks to free them and us from the rules and the expectations that blind us to the fullness of life. Jesus seeks to redirect them from putting their energy where it can do absolutely nothing. Trying to change others doesn't accomplish things. He tries to redirect them to putting their energy where it really matters by looking at their own lives and trying to shape and change who they are. And then he invites us to go out and live. To live stories worthy of who he knows us to be and what he knows us to be capable of. To live stories of life. Because that's the journey that we're on together. Amen.